And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast. On a Monday, I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Hope you had a terrific weekend. Mine was a nice weekend here, Ponte Vedra, Florida. It has turned summer just like that. Just like that, 89 degrees yesterday. The tropical winds coming up from the south, humid. You're sweating your ass off on the golf course. And I played golf yesterday. First time, Marsh Landing in quite some time. And played okay. You know, hit a lot of good shots. I had to go out and try my new PXG Gen 6 driver. And I only got 18 holes in, but I'm going to go ahead and make this statement. It's the best driver they've ever made. I'm going to go ahead and make this statement. The Gen 6 PXG driver is the best driver that they've ever made. Now, I know when they came out and they came onto the scene, they were terrific with their irons, and their irons are fantastic. And I've got a new set of those coming as well, and I can't wait. And then I was like, all right, the hybrids are awesome. And then the fairway woods, like nuclear. And now I just feel like the driver is fantastic. The best driver I think they've ever made. Honestly, and this is no joke, and I know I got a PXG hat, and I know they're one of my great sponsors, and I get that. But no joke, I'm playing with a guy that I normally play with, and he's younger than me. He creates a lot of speed. He's usually pretty consistently 8 to 12 yards past me, pretty consistently. Yesterday, I was 8 to 12 past him. I'm not kidding. I mean, there were times that we were right there next to each other, but I was 8 to 12 past him. I mean, I was launching it, low spin, thing was chasing out. It was awesome. It's the best I've driven the ball in quite some time. So I'm fired up. I'm inspired. Like you know, you work in the business. You know, I teach in the media, the podcast, all this stuff, and I love it. But sometimes you get beat down a little bit to where what you sacrifice is playing golf. And sometimes I'll go through stretches where I don't play. And I haven't played much golf at all, really, this year. And so it was fun to get out there with some friends at Marsh Landing here in Ponte Vedra and play. And I walked away. I mean, I hit a lot of weird shots. Just my iron game wasn't sharp. I duffed a chip. I three-putted a couple, you know, just that kind of stuff. But, you know, I threw a few birdies in there, but I walked away thinking, man, I hit my driver so good. So I'm fired up. I think I'm going to play again next week. World Golf Championships match play is officially closed, right? That was the last time that we'll see the World Golf Championship match play at the Austin Country Club. Kind of sad because this is a tournament that's been around a while. I found myself thinking last night about all the match play events and kind of reminiscing about all of the great things that have happened over the years. Most notably for me, Tiger hitting that shot in the dark. And of course, Tiger just feasted on the World Golf Championships, but they're winding down. They're coming to an end, largely because of the landscape of professional golf and these elevated events and where they're going. Of course, this was an elevated event, only 64 guys playing, and it delivered. I mean, it delivered once again with big names down the stretch on the weekend. I mean, we've got a Rory McIlroy, Cam semifinal, Cam Young, that is. And then we got a Sam Burns and Scottie Scheffler semifinal, both going to extra holes. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. And then you go to the finals, of course, and Sam routes Cam, that finished a bit early, I think, for everybody's liking. But anytime you can get Scheffler and Rory going head-to-head, that was fantastic. But Sam Burns, folks, wins for the fifth time on the PGA Tour. And if you tuned in last week on Tuesday with Jess Feinberg, we filled out our brackets. And guess who picked Sam Burns to win the WGC match play? Right here, yours truly, Sammy Burns. Now, I had the other side wrong. I had Sam Burns over Ricky Fowler, who didn't make it out of his pool. But that's all right. I'll take another win, the third this year, right here on the show. Sam Burns getting his fifth career win. Now, if you've been with me for quite some time, you know that I've been touting Sam Burns for a while. And we're going to have some fun here today on the show. It's just me. I'm working on getting his team on this week as well. Brad Pullen, his longtime coach from Louisiana, will be joining me. I've known Brad from quite some time. He's been very gracious with me, sharing some insight about Sam over the years. He was here in the studio during the Players' Championship. Brad Pullen is a coach that you don't hear a lot about, but he's done a fantastic job with Sam from a very young age, all through his time at LSU, turning pro. He had one Corn Ferry Tour win. He had a European Tour win. And now 5 wins on the PGA Tour. This is no question his biggest win of his career. And the reason I picked him this week is I felt like Sam was starting to work through really his first slump on the PGA Tour. Now, when he came out here as a rookie, I mean, he had some things, some weaknesses to work on, and he continued to get better at that. We're going to talk about some of those things. But really, you know, even as he started winning, I think Sam was relatively consistent, and particularly over here on the East Coast. He's excellent on Bermuda greens growing up in the South. But he was struggling. You look at his stats and you look at his finishes, and we talked about a lot of this. There was some real struggle there, in particularly with the swing. And it became most noticeable to me at the Arnold Palmer, and I tweeted this out. He was on the par 5 16th, and you could see his feet really close way off to the right, and his shoulders were very open to the left. Now, Sam does that just a little bit in general. He's always got his feet a little bit more closed than his shoulders. I do that. A lot of players will do that. But when I was watching him on PGA Tour Live, it looked really exaggerated, and it looked like his wires were really crossed up, and he was hitting a lot of wipes. And a wipe is when, you know, you're kind of maybe a little more out in front than you want, and the club head's kind of coming across a little bit, and you just kind of leave the face open. You kind of get one of these shearing effects, and it's just off to the right. And he hit that shot on 16. It was way right. And it was as bad as I've seen him in his swing from some time, because when Sam came out here, and one of the reasons that I touted him so much early in his career, before he won for the first time, he was someone that was on my radar, is I felt like Sam, number one, I just love his swing. And I'm going to show you his swing here in a second. I love his golf swing. But he was a player who was a very good driver of the ball. Not the longest, but long enough, right? He can get it out there, respectable distance off the tee. But he was a very good iron player. He would win with his iron game, strokes gain. He's going to knock it in closer than most proximity-wise. He's going to give himself a lot of looks. So his iron game, check. Fantastic putter. Fantastic putter. Sam Burns doesn't get the credit that he deserves for how good of a putter he is and has been. You saw it again this week. The guy can fill it up. When he gets it going, he fills it up with the putter. And then from there, you know, you look at his weakness, it was probably a short game. And over the years, you can see strokes game around the greens has continued to improve. So he's working on his weakness, but he's maintaining his strength. And I think that's easier said than done. We've seen that over the years where players will work on weaknesses, but they'll sacrifice some of their strengths. We saw that with Jordan Spieth. When he went after more distance, he lost his putter. Ricky Fowler, when he tried to make his changes, he lost his putter. So with Sam, maintain his distance, maintain his terrific iron play, maintain that he's one of the best putters in the world, but incrementally get better at his short game. And you can see improvement with his short game. But make no mistake, this season has been a little bit, has been difficult from Sam Burns' perspective. And you go back to, let's just go to the first of the year here, starting at the Century. He didn't play good at all, the Century. I mean, he was 32nd. His driver was a mess. His irons were a mess, but he putted good. And Sam usually lives in the positive in strokes gained putting. I mean, you have to go all the way back to, let's see, October, where he barely lost a little bit in strokes gained putting. So 32nd at the Century. Then he gets to American Express, 11th, Waste Management. I thought he played well there. He was 6th, but it kind of started to fall from there. Genesis didn't play good at all. Missed the cut. Arnold Palmer was a wreck. Missed the cut. He lost 9 strokes approach at Arnold Palmer. Cleaned some things up at the Players. I saw some good things there at the Players. Talked to his coach, Brad Pullen, 35th. Valspar, I loved what I saw. I was loving what I was seeing at Valspar. Now, make no mistake, he's won that tournament twice. And Jeff Feinberg and I talked about it. Was it just a place that he felt comfortable, or is Sam Burns back? And I said, Sam Burns is back. Sam Burns is back. And he was positive three with his driver. He was positive two with his irons. Here we go. And so he shows up in Austin, and off he goes. And so here he is now, five wins, and things are rolling. And you start to think to yourself, well, maybe he's going to be a favorite at the Masters. Well, Sam Burns has never made the cut at the Masters. Maybe this is a year that he starts to compete in major championships. His best finishes in major championships, never made the cut at the Masters, T20 at the PGA, T27 at the US Open, T42 at the Open Championship. So you can see this progression with Sam, and now with the WGC elevated event under his belt, now you would think, okay, let's be competitive and let's get in there in the final stretch of a major championship late on a Sunday. But Sam Burns is a star, folks. I mean, is he a superstar? I'm not going to go that far, but Sam Burns is a star. He has the game. And I think when you add up all the games, and it's easy just to crunch stats and validate it, but for me, and getting to know his team, and I don't know Sam. I mean, I've met him a couple times. He's a quiet guy, reserve. You know, he's good friends with Scottie Scheffler. It kind of strikes me that he might be kind of a hard guy to get close to. He's not going to open up to a lot of people. He's probably got a pretty tight group inside. But the one thing that's always struck me with Sam, and watching him in person, and watching him when he gets in the hunt, situationally, he's really good, right? You're going to have to go beat him. And there's not many guys that you feel like that when they get in that moment where it's like, okay, now it's you've got the game, and it's and now just go win it. Now just go win it. There's not many guys that you feel comfortable where you feel like, yeah, you know, he might go backwards. I'm just not quite there. Like Xander Schauffele, multi-winner on the PGA Tour, one of the best. Like I know he took steps last year, but he's one of those guys where situationally, are you fully comfortable with Xander? I'd be more comfortable with Sam Burns. Scottie Scheffler, check, right? Down the hunt, you feel like that dude, you better go get him. Rory, some would probably say yes, some would probably say no. John Rahm, most would probably say, yeah, I'm comfortable with John. He's going to go put you away. Max Homa, comfortable down the stretch, right? You would feel probably very, very comfortable with him situationally. Let's go get the win. You're going to have to go beat Max. He's not going to come back to you. That's the way I feel with Sam. That's the way I feel with Sam. When he's got his game situationally, man, you better bring it. And Cam Young was playing great golf, and Sam just suffocated him early and put him away. The other thing I like about Sam is he just feels like he's got a little dog in him too. You know, like he's got a little dog in him, you know, and you watch him, and I know Scheffler was his good buddy, but you just get the sense like, man, I'm down and I'm suffocating for a living. He's going to put his foot right on your neck and he's just going to say, no, it's over. That competitive edge just seems to really burn with Sam Burns. And you put that along with being comfortable situationally, I love it. I just love everything about him. And with his game, I am not surprised one bit that this is where we are at the age of 26. And he's now inside of the top 10 in the official World Golf Rankings. Congratulations, Sam Burns. Congratulations, Brad Pullen. Congratulations, Dr. Brett McCabe, on the job that you've done with Sammy Burns. Now let's have some fun. Here we go. Here's Sammy Burns swinging his iron. I like to get a little fake. And I'm gonna show you a couple things here. Some things that where Sam was struggling, and I think hitting some wipes and some things that I think they've gotten back to. You look at his address position. And this video cut off a little bit, so we're not going to quite be able to see the address. But at address, Sam would normally, he's got the stick down for his feet in the alignment. We're looking from a target line view here for those just listening in. But his feet normally will aim a touch more to the right than his shoulders and his forearms. And with that stick down, he's probably trying to feel a bit more square. Sam, I think at times, will get his hand path and his lead arm a bit too out and up. Now, you look at the top of the swing, and you look at this lead arm here, and I think this would be a swing that Sam and Brad would be very happy with. His lead arm is covering his right shoulder. His left arm has depth to it, depth meaning back behind. His lead arm is covering his right shoulder. And I think when they get to like that mid iron 7-6, like that's a good, I think, visual and checkpoint that they'd be happy with. I think a lot of that lead arm depth probably comes early in the backswing, getting the hand path to work a bit more in versus away. Now, you look like a Rory McIlroy, his hand path will work maybe a little bit wider out in front and then around him. Where I think with Sam, you kind of get the sense that he wants his hand path working in earlier and then from there turning so he can get the lead arm back behind him. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, if he fades it, then why does he want the lead arm that deep, right? And even guys that fade it, you know, they want to have some depth. And when they have depth, what happens here is it tells them that now they can really just keep the shaft pitched back behind them and just rotate, right? And now the lead arm can start to work back out in front of the body. And you look at the left arm there when it's parallel to the ground, you can see the left arm's pretty parallel to the target line, and that shaft is pitched back in just above his right forearm. All right, so with that lead arm depth, now he feels like, okay, when my weight goes left and I can start to turn, and now the lead arm back out in front, the shaft's pitched perfectly, and now I can just rotate hard to the left, the shaft exits well under the left shoulder, and hit my slight little fade. Now, let's say at the top of the swing, in the way that he wants to just open up and hit it. Let's say his left arm was more upright. Let's say his hand path went more out and his left arm went more up. And then from there, he starts to rotate and open up. Well, now he kind of gets it too far out in front of him, right? So when he starts down that left arm right there, now that left arm would be, let's say, a little, not parallel, but, you know, more out towards the golf ball. If you look at Rory right there, that left arm would be even a little further behind him. It would be a little bit more an angle to the inside relative to the target line. Now, for Sam, the way his pivot works and the way that left arm gets out in front, if that left arm was too upright and he starts to really open up and hit it, now that left arm's too much towards the ball. It gets a little steep. It gets a little wipey across to the left. And that's not conducive as the club gets longer. And that's what I see with Sam. From time to time, I think when he struggles, he probably loses that depth, and in particular, probably loses it early on. Now, the other thing I want to mention here with this fade pattern is, you know, he's got the turn, he's got the depth to the top. You can see the flat left wrist. That club face is prepared, folks. I mean, that face is not open. You don't fade the ball. Well, I should say, my advice to you is not to fade the ball by having the face open, but rather getting the path working more to the left. Now, what I mean by that is if you look at that face right there, like you can see the toe is kind of curled down just a little bit. It's into his shirt there. The toe is not exactly, say, 12 o'clock. It's kind of curled down towards, let's say, 1 o'clock. That left hand is flexed and rotating down. It's not extended and looking up to the sky. So he's not trying to open the face there. If anything, he's trying to prepare the face where it's square. Some would look at that maybe as a little close. And then from there, he can just turn left. And he can feel like that he can just rotate left and get the path going left. And then the face naturally will just be a little open to that path. Right. And keep in mind, folks, to get that ball to start to the left, that face has to be looking a little left, right? If it was too open, then the ball would start too much to the right. So often when players are trying to kind of hold the face open It gets too open. It gets too much looking to the right at impact, and the ball starts too far to the right. And then, of course, you're swinging left. The path is left, and then it fades even more to the right. Okay, so you want to get the face prepared. Get it looking maybe perhaps a bit more close, as you see with Sam, and then rotating. And then when he hits it, that face is looking slightly left. And then from there, his path is just a little bit more left of that. And that's just an awesome power fade with no hang on. I mean, he's releasing it, you know, and he's releasing it back under his left shoulder. So I think there's a difference between the concept mentally of trying to fade it with the face open versus fading it with the path more to the left. Hopefully that makes sense. These are a couple of things I see with Sam. Depth at the top, preparing the face early, and then from there just rotating to the left. Now let's go to the other view. And this is awesome here. I mean, I love watching Sam hit the golf ball. I think it's an underrated swing. I think he's an underrated putter. And it's just cool to see him get this big win. Now, with this driver here, again, depth, so important. If you're going to get depth, you better get some turn. Look at this left knee. You know I like that. His right hip really turning back behind him. He gets a change of knee flex. There's a bit of a change of knee flex there. The right knee giving way a little bit, left knee coming across. Nice full turn to the top of the swing. I always get the sense with Sam that when he nails the backswing, when he feels like he's probably made a great turn, he's got the hand path going in, he's got the lead arm depth behind him, that he just feels like from there that he can just let the weight fall left and he can just rotate to the left. And I think when you watch in transition right there, I think Sam always does a really good job of not only letting that weight go left, but he doesn't fall back in side bend excessively. Like, he's got a little side bend there, but he's not falling back excessively. You'll see that from time to time with better players, is the weight will go left, and then the upper body at times will feel the need to kind of back up to the right. And I think with Sam, when he'll struggle from time to time, is when he doesn't get that depth to the top. If he still wants to hit the same shot visually, he would have to back up a little bit, because if he just stayed there on top of it and rotated, that's when he would hit the white. He'd probably hit a pull or a white. And so as a result, he might start falling into, you know, maybe backing up to try to help alleviate some of that. And this is where these swings kind of come together. And I think with Sam, it's like it's prepared in the backswing, good depth. From there now, he can really let the club get back down in front of him. He can cover it with not an excessive amount of side bend, and he can just rotate to the left. I mean, look at that. Watch this again here. Watch this left hip, left shoulder. I mean, he is just getting out of the way and letting this thing turn the corner, letting this thing release. And just there's no hang on. There's no sense of trying to steer it. It's just, here it comes, instinctual behavior. And I think a lot of it is set up by the backswing, you know, and I know some of you are listening here and like, Travis, all that matters is impact. All that matters is impact, Travis. There's so many different backswings. And I'm telling you, folks, I talk to a lot of coaches and I talk to a lot of players. And these guys work on the backswing, a lot of them. You know, I mean, they get things prepared, whether in the backswing, early in trance, whatever. And then it's just, here it comes. Here it comes. And I think for Sam, he just falls right in that category. So good fun here. I mean, this is, hopefully you enjoyed that. I'm a huge fan of Sam Burns, huge fan of Brad Pullen, huge fan of Dr. Brett McCabe. They have done a great job to this point. 26 years of age, 5 wins now on the PGA Tour, his biggest, the World Golf Championship match play. And there's going to be more ahead. I mean, you can always, he's going to win more. He'll have more chances. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way. There's more ahead for Sam. I mean, there's just no question about it. There's more ahead. This week, Will probably is going to do more for his confidence than anything in the past. I mean, you think about what he's been through just in the last month. He was in a really tough slump. He worked through the slump with his team, got it back on track a little bit at the Players, got it much more back on track at the Valspar, shows up at match play and beats the best players in the world head to head. I mean, you think about the perseverance. You think about the grind. You think about, hey, I was probably at a, maybe not an all-time low, but he was probably at a low walking out of Orlando the way he hit it. And then you think about where he is walking out of Austin. It's great. It's good stuff, man. It's championship material. And he will be in that situation time and time again. The next step now is to be more competitive in some of these major championships. So I'm working on getting Brad on. I'm working on getting Dr. Brett McCabe on. And I'll share with that this week. Thank you for being here. We'll be back tomorrow. Beating the Bookie is going to join me on a Tuesday, the Valero Texas Open, before we get to the Masters. And we're going to keep this winning streak going, right? I'm just not drawing this stuff out of the hat, folks. All right, this ain't no hobby. Although it's starting to look a little more like a hobby for Kisner right now. But anyway, you know, like there's a lot of stuff put into this. And you know, what our picks are. So it's nice when they work out from time to time. Thank you for being here. Stripe Show Podcast brought to you by About Golf Simulators. Thank you, PXG. I love my driver. I can't wait to get my irons. See you tomorrow.